Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day to consider the renewed interest in the issue of reparations. Reparations for what? For slavery. America's most significant crime, certainly a massive crime that plays a role in our history. Is it about time that black people who are descended themselves personally from slaves should receive some of the compensation for brutal labor that they have been so long denied? An emphatic yes, says Clyde W. Ford, who has presented hundreds of events over the last 35 years. He's written 13 books. He's given keynote addresses, workshops, trainings, individual lectures, and much more. He also did a provocative piece for the Seattle Times yesterday, a roadmap for reparations, and he's going to be speaking on this subject tonight at 6 p.m. in a virtual Seattle town hall. This is a digital stage only, not a virtual event, not an in-person attendance event. Clyde Ford, great to meet you over the telephone, and congratulations on your piece in the Seattle Times.
Thanks, Michael. I'm glad to be on your show. Even understanding that not everybody's going to agree with me, not everybody's going to agree with what I wrote. You know, my book, which the op-ed in the Times is all about, is a book which some people on the left don't write parts of, and some people on the right don't like parts of, but I think it's important to put out issues like this, and particularly when you get people angry on you, with you on both sides of the aisle, maybe you're doing a good thing.
Okay, in terms of the news on reparations, and one of the reasons that this is news again, is the California State Task Force on Reparations for Black Residents voted back in March, the end of March, to limit eligibility to individuals whose lineage could actually be traced to enslavement in America.
Yes.
Do you believe that was a legitimate step for this commission to take, to indicate that this would not be reparations for black people in general, it would be reparations for that percentage of the population that could actually trace back their heritage to slavery?
Michael, there was a lot of contention on in that discussion for the task force. I would have voted the way the task force did. And I believe that because I think, you know, you're talking about two different issues. And I think when you limit reparations to just what you described as the American crime of slavery, then you're not bleeding into other areas where there potentially could be the basis for maybe legal or other discussions around things like discrimination. Reparations of slavery is clear cut. It is well defined. I would have voted with the commission task force on that.
Can I ask you a question? Can you trace your own heritage back to slavery?
Absolutely. Not only can I trace it back to 1804 when I actually have in my possession, hanging up on the wall in my bedroom, the deed of manumission that freed my titular relative from slavery. So I can do that. I can even go back further than that 1804 document to somewhere in the late 1600s because I know who he married and who the woman he married parents were. So I can do that. I actually did that tracing back in the 1970s, so I'm very confident, and since I've been able to go to Ancestry.com and even flush out the family tree from what I know.
Okay, well, good for you. Can I ask you, you have researched this a great deal, written a great deal about it. There are over 40 million people in the United States who identify as black.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea what percentage of those people can retrace heritage in a reliable manner the way that you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say that probably not very many have done that, but now with the records on Ancestry.com that weren't available to me in the 70s, boy, I would say a good percentage of the number of folks who are of color who are descendant of slaves can trace that heritage back. Now I can get on Ancestry.com and find things I could never find before simply because the records were there but I just didn't have access to. So I think the information is out there. I do think it's available. And I think there's some good ways, some good safeguards we can put in place so we're not going to see that much abuse of a system like that.
Okay, you also have this roadmap that you put forward that's very interesting, and it goes back to the original promise by General Sherman of 40 acres and a mule, and the fact that there was an executive order that even allowed that to go forward. That was canceled by President Andrew Johnson after President Lincoln was assassinated. Now, all of it is interesting and relevant, but one of the core questions that comes up is, You would have excluded from any reparations by what we are just talking about people who have been more recent immigrants from Africa who have come to this country by the millions. Yeah. And you would also, would you be excluding people whose ancestry was only 1/4, 1/8, 1/16th? Black?
Yeah, I mean, again, great question. And I think there is a lot of room for discussion about how that reparations actually get done. I would say, this is just my personal opinion, if you could trace any part of your ancestry back to enslavement and show that as a result of that enslavement, your life has been impacted, then I would say, yes, you're owed reparations. Reparations for slavery, again, I'll say it, is different from whether you were subjected to various forms of discrimination in this country. Do I think there should be remedies for discrimination? Yes. Do I think they're the same as reparations for slavery? No. I think you're talking about two different issues. I think it's right to separate those two issues out.
Okay. In terms of, I know that there have been various estimates that different reparations activists have put forward, some as high as $7 trillion in, yeah, reparations. How would you break down, and this is something that at least in the piece in the Seattle Times you don't go into in any detail, how would you break down the amount of reparations per individual, or would there be a standard fee for anyone who could show any ancestry, even a very partial ancestry, that ties to slavery?
Yeah, well, so again, I think this is a great discussion to have. I am not an economist. You know what I said in the piece, I certainly stand by what I said in the piece, is reparations was tried right after the Civil War. Almost 1 million acres of land was going to be given to for the formerly enslaved. That process of handing it out was started by the Freedmen's Bureau. And then when Lincoln was assassinated, everything was snatched back. Again, I'm not an economist, Michael, but I do know that you could value that 1 million acres of land right now, and whatever, I'm willing to start the discussion with whatever that 1 million acres of land is. I don't believe we should have land give backs again. I don't think we're going to give that land away. I don't think that's right. But I do think there's so many other remedies that we could try. I mean, look, educational vouchers so that you get people going to college. A good example of what's actually going on right now in the Northeast and a couple of other places, even in the South, folks who know that their families benefited from slavery are saying to young black folks who want to be farmers, we're going to grant you land so that you can farm on, and part of that farming is helping food deserts in the inner city actually get food to people who need it.
Okay, we will be right back. Hold on, we need to go to a break, but we will be right back with Clyde W. Ford on the issue of reparations now, ever. 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Right back with Clyde Ford.
We'll be right back. Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Michael Medved show, joined by Clyde W. Ford, who is the author of 13 different books. Most relevant perhaps, is Of Blood and Sweat, Black Lives and the Making of White Power and Wealth. He's speaking about a roadmap for reparations. Tonight, in a virtual event, it is not an in-person event, a virtual speech, through Seattle Town Hall. He'll be speaking tonight digitally at 6 p.m. Okay, we were talking before about some of the specifics, and again, I think that a lot of people, they hear the idea of reparations, and given the fact that we provided reparations for people who were actually interned, Japanese Americans who, in a horrific violation of their rights, were interned for, in some cases, 4 years during World War II, they received reparations per individual of up to $20,000. And that was signed into law by President Reagan. One of the questions here would be, those people had to show that they had actually suffered financially before they got those reparations back. What about very wealthy black people, some of whom actually inherited some wealth, most of whom, I'll take an Oprah Winfrey. Would Oprah Winfrey and Michelle Obama, as you saw it, be eligible for slavery reparations? Because I know both of them can trace their ancestries back to slavery. So would they, given their current level of success, be eligible for the reparations?
Well, here's what I feel, Michael. There's two levels of eligibility. One is a legal level of eligibility and a moral level of eligibility. My guess would be, and I would hope this would be the case, is that somebody like Oprah Winfrey or Michelle Obama would recognize that, yes, they might be legally eligible for reparations, but morally, oh, my God, they probably are the least eligible in that way. Look, even me, I mean, I would be more than happy with some level of tax write-off related to that. That obviously would take into account my income so that those less fortunate than me would get more than I would. That's not a problem.
Okay, but then the question becomes, isn't it a problem to you on some level? And we don't know each other, but I know that you are somebody who's very concerned with justice. Is it just for you or for getting some level of tax break for you to get that above some white individual whose family may have lived in poverty since the time of slavery? And there are such people in the United States. Not all white people are rich and successful, are they?
Absolutely not. And this is not an issue about reparations for poverty. Do I think that poverty should be addressed and have remedies? Absolutely, 100%. But this is not about poverty. This is about the forced chattel enslavement of human beings. And just like with discrimination, you've got to separate these things out so you're not mixing apples and oranges in the same discussion. That's what I really feel, is that reparations is a separate issue and it's not related to poverty.
Okay, but how can you separate it out if what you're talking about is paying money or some kind of special tax break right now, and you're basing it primarily on skin color? You're basing it on some kind of historical experience that you can prove rather than circumstances. The idea that families that have suffered of different ethnicities, and again, this includes not only other white people, but other people of color, is singling out people for unique crimes. And one other challenge, I'll throw this in and then give you a chance to respond.
Sure.
One of the things you say is that you think Washington State would be a good state to lead the way on this. And I find that bizarre because Washington State is a state with a strong anti-slavery history. At no time has Washington State had slavery as a major institution. One of the founders of our state, you may know, is a guy named George Bush, who was a founder of the town of Centralia. He's black.
Right.
And the idea that in Washington State we should lead the way to reparations rather than, oh, say, South Carolina or Georgia, does that make sense?
Well, specifically what I was saying in the article, because that's what you're quoting from, is that Washington State already has on the books a law about reparations, in this case, a law on reparations for Japanese Americans, which addresses some of the thorny issues of reparations, like eligibility, how do you file claims, and all of those other things. I don't care what state is actually going to lead the way. Those issues have to be addressed. Washington State did it 5 years before the nation did it. Washington State did it in 1983. The nation finally got to it with the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which Ronald Reagan signed. So I was simply saying, look at what we've done in Washington State. I think we know a little bit about judging who's eligible, helping them file a claim, judging who shouldn't file a claim. Those are issues that any state is going to have to come to terms with, the nation as well, too.
That's okay, just for a moment, just to understand, the reason Washington State led the way on Japanese-American reparations is because, along with California, we were the major state in which they took people and interned them. That actually happened here. In terms of slavery, we would be very close to the bottom of the list in terms of any direct involvement with the issue of enslavement. The other question here would be, obviously, this is only going to be possible if you persuade a fairly substantial majority of the American public of all races that this is a good idea.
Yeah.
How does that work when the general response to racial preference of any kind, let alone payments of large grants of money or tax credits or tuition credits, anything like that based on race, how does that work when a majority of all Americans, taking together people of all races, don't seem to accept that principle or that idea?
Well, the one thing I know about America is that it's a country of fairness. And if you look in the history, which is what I try to do in the book of Blood and Sweat, and you go back to right after the Civil War, the country, the Senate, the Congress said reparations was due to those enslaved. Hey, that was taken away. And a fair country says that was taken away, it should be restored, and that then would be the basis for reparations. We're actually essentially a fairness. Regardless of the divisiveness beneath all this, America is a fair place.
And on that, I believe we agree. Clyde Ford, his piece appeared in the Seattle Times on Sunday. He's speaking tonight. We will be right back on the MedVet Show.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
With the Senate still on their Easter recess, senators are back in their home districts. And Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, is taking part in a luncheon in Shelby County, Kentucky, to discuss issues of importance to the state and the country. The senator says as long as Ukraine keeps fighting against Russia, the United States needs to keep supporting Ukraine.
President Zelensky needs to tell us what the definition of victory is. And as long as they're willing to fight, we need to help them.
the Biden administration will require infrastructure projects to be outfitted with U.S.-made materials. The Office of Management and Budget directing federal agencies to ensure that by mid-May, all projects funded by the infrastructure package are made with domestic iron and steel. USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, let's go directly, having just spoken for a couple of segments about reparations with Clyde Ford, to Jim in Portland, Oregon, who has a response. Jim, you're on.
Well, I was thinking if he changed his focus a little bit and focused on the last 110 years. 110 years ago, my understanding is the black family was the most stable in America, starting with, maybe President Wilson and going out through the Great Society, maybe especially the Great Society. These government policies kind of fragmented the black family. And it dawned on me, if he focused on that and, said, look, reparation for these gone wrong government policies, I think there'd be widespread support. I think the center left, the center right, maybe not the far right, far left, and left. I mean, one thing, they'd be opposed because they got to admit government isn't a god and they got it wrong. But I think he'd get some good support on that one if he focused on that. It's almost like instead of a circle around one focus, you draw an ellipse around two foci or focuses. You know, he might actually get some results. It might be modest results, but he might get something.
You know, look, it's a very interesting point you make, and of course, it's a point that the great economist Thomas Sowell has made, and I talked about his own life, how a lot of the efforts on behalf that were supposed to be on behalf of poor people and oppressed people actually have not worked in their behalf, have actually worked to make the oppression and the inequality greater. And particularly what you're talking about is, first of all, you can't take away the fact that there was enormous damage done to the family structure during slavery, where it was against the law to have a legally recognized marriage. It didn't happen with slaves. And slaves were often punished by having their partners sold out. Obviously the depredations of slavery were unspeakable. And no one is saying that what was done by government programs was worse than that. But the difficulty was that the undermining of what was heroic efforts of the black community and black churches in particular to keep together the family structure under very difficult circumstances, you're right, Jim, entirely to point that out. Look, the idea of reparations becoming a political issue in this election, the Democrats have enough trouble. This is not something that is going to be sold successfully to the American people. And there's even something of a recognition of that on an MSNBC panel, because they were discussing an episode of the TV show Atlanta where white people are scared, frightened, terrified of reparations. And here's what that conversation sounded like. Clip 18. Clip 18A, yeah.
It's cleared the way for personal litigation now. They can just look you up and force you to pay.
What? No. Really?
Yeah. It's scary. I'm looking at my family tree right now to make sure I'm in the clear. Everybody else is too. Lucky them.
Not a care in the world.
Okay, what they're trying to show, that was a clip from the show Atlanta, where they're trying to satirize white people fearing their own persecution through reparations. And then there was this comment from an MSNBC panelist. Listen.
Well, first of all, it is brilliant. It is genius. And as Jason said, you know, it is sort of the nightmare scenario that my people have when it comes to this, right? It's this idea that we're going to have our water bill, our cable bill, and oh God, there's the black people bill. I totally forgot to pay that last month. Yeah. To the extent that it tweaks that kind of bizarre interpretation of what black folks are talking about when they talk about reparations or what it would look like, I think it does its job, right? I got to talk my people down off a ledge now because this is so well done that white folks are like, see, this is what they're going to do. They're going to show up at our house. And that's not what the issue is.
Okay. There is a basic belief and statement that is the very heart of conservative economics, which is there is no such thing as a free lunch. And it doesn't mean that there's a fear that people are going to put it on your weekly bill or that people are going to show up at your house and demand money. But if you're talking about $7 trillion or more, there have been estimates up to $22 trillion to pay reparations for slavery over the years, the money's going to come from somewhere. And the idea that it should be, by the way, would the money would have to be enough to mean that black people who are wealthy and successful, who would be paying more in taxes to send this money to whom? Would it be to everybody, or would it be to people who were still destitute and were still suffering in some way because of the crime of slavery? And it's one of those things where no matter how much they may make fun of it and laugh at it on MSNBC, the idea that this is actually ever going to become a reality is very, very dim. There's also another question, and it has to do with equal justice or unequal justice. Is MIT and it's a very, very big and significant turning has gone back to using assessment tests as a basis for admission. The report in Wall Street Journal, roughly 3/4 of colleges around the country have not required standardized tests from applicants during the pandemic, many ditching the scores to accommodate teens whose SAT and ACT exams were canceled because of the public health crisis. The reprieve is now over at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which will again mandate test scores for next year's applicants. Those trying to get into the Georgia Institute of Technology will also need to submit test results. Yet the California Institute of Technology won't factor in test scores for at least one more year. And Worcester Polytechnic Institute in Massachusetts, which was already test optional before the pandemic, is running an 8-year pilot for test-blind admissions, meaning it also won't allow applicants to submit scores at all, even if they want to, even if they scored very well. It can't count in your behalf. That is what is so crazy about this issue. In other words, if you want to say that, no, it's not required that people take a test, that's one thing. But to say that you can't, even if you have aced your aptitude test, if you have aced your assessment test and done very, very well, you can't even choose to send them in? The list is in flux. Georgia's university system said last May that it would require test scores for students applying to start school in fall of this year. Then in March, deep in the admission cycle, it reversed course and determined that applicants to all but three of the state's 26 public universities could apply without test scores for entry this fall. It hasn't yet announced a policy for the following year's applicants. In other words, there is confusion here that makes no sense. The idea of test optional, I think you can make a case for it. But to say that people who are confident about taking their tests and get results that would make them a more desirable candidate, that you would rule that out, is based on nothing. It's based on the assumption somehow that there is a core inequality and that it's based on race. It's a horrible assumption. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833-654 pain. The Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College promotes the principles of faith and freedom and equips the next generation of American leaders. Through bold opinion pieces, academic conferences on important topics, and examination of key figures and events in American history, the Institute and Grove City College stand apart from the indoctrination that's dominated much of higher education. The Institute for Faith and Freedom offers a brand new online course with scholar and historian Dr. Jay Cost on the mind of Madison in the midst of dysfunctional politics. The life and insights of James Madison can remind us of long-lost truths. What's politics supposed to accomplish? How should the people influence their political leaders? Go to faithandfreedom.com to learn more about their work and to take this new online course on the mind of Madison. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Long-serving broadcaster gets a pretty nifty reward from the political leader she has supported. We'll get to that coming up on the Michael Medved Show. It's also a good time to remember that it's a great opportunity to sign up as a Medhead Plus member. It costs a little. You gain a lot, including access 24/7 to history programs at no charge, free, at the Medved Show as a Medhead Plus member. You just need to pay the grand total of 22 cents a day. It's a great deal. Let us go to your calls and to David in Seattle. David, you're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Michael, considering your guest's arguments about reparations being economic, and that most, if not all, of the slaves that were stolen came from Western African states. Those Western African countries, the per capita GDP is a fraction of the United States. So following that logic, wouldn't all African Americans have to write a check to the government as a thank you for a higher wages here in the States other than Africa?
Okay, you could make that claim, but of course the right answer is that is to minimize the suffering and the cruelty and the real horror of slavery. And the other thing that your argument distorts, and this is such an important point, and it's one of the reasons I think the history shows that we have on offer for MedHead Plus members are so important. The slaves who were kidnapped in Africa and brought elsewhere and sold elsewhere, very, very few of them, it's estimated by Harvard and Henry Louis Gates, great African-American scholar, that at most 4% of those slaves ended up in what later became the United States. The slave trade to the United States also ended in 1808. And it was put to an end by President Jefferson. And the fact is that there were literally millions and millions of slaves in the West Indies. And a lot of those West Indies colonies were overwhelming majority slaves. And the idea then that you would have to try to find out where it was and how people came here. And by the way, one of the things that is interesting is there have been people who have tried to assess some of the families in West Africa who benefited most from actually capturing and selling their fellow Africans into slavery. Because some of the wealthiest, most privileged families in Africa go back to benefiting from the slave trade. So that's a carom shot that goes along with your point, David, that you were making. And thank you for the call. There's this story which is so, it's like out of a fairy tale or another world. And it's from Associated Press. It says, Ri Chun-hee, who is North Korea's most famous state TV anchor, has announced major events for decades, including nuclear and missile tests and the death of a leader with an instantly identifiable, passionate voice. The anchor, dubbed the Pink Lady abroad for her bright traditional Korean attire, became the topic of official North Korean media herself last week after leader Kim Jong-un gave her a luxurious residence and asked her to continue to serve as the voice of his ruling Workers' Party. Experts say King is providing special treatment to Kim is providing special treatment to elite North Koreans to boost their loyalty as he deals with the coronavirus pandemic, a troubled economy, and a stalemate nuclear diplomacy with the U.S. Kim said it is the sincerity of the party that it would spare nothing for a national treasure like her, who has worked as a revolutionary announcer for the party for more than 50 years since her girlhood, the official Korean Central News Agency said. Kim met Ri, who is 79, after inaugurating a newly built riverside terraced residence district in Pyongyang, the capital. It said houses in the district were presented to Ri and other people who have given distinguished service to the state. North Korea often inaugurates construction projects to mark key state anniversaries. Friday was the 110th birthday of Kim's late grandfather, the state founder Kim Il-sung. It is the most important anniversary in North Korea, which has been ruled by three generations of the Kim family since its founding in 1948. Kim toured Ri's house with her and held her hand as they descended the stairs. Kim said she felt that her new house is like a hotel and that all her family members stayed up all night in tears of deep gratitude for the party's benevolence and our great leader. Ri later used her trademark over-the-top speaking technique to narrate a state TV video of Kim showing her the house. I mean, this is part of what dictatorship is about. And by the way, you see it in Putin's Russia as well. The idea that basically if you serve the state, if you serve the leader, if you serve the dictatorship, if you serve the autocracy, then you get rewarded with very luxurious treatment in nations that are profoundly poor. I mean, North Korea is one of the poorest nations in the world. There is a starvation problem in North Korea. Russia is one of the poorest nations in Europe. And yet you have the oligarchs, and including Putin himself, who has a personal yacht that is estimated as being worth $700 million. I mean, really, does this give you some perspective? It does me. The Ri's close ties to Kim were shown last year at a government foundation anniversary ceremony when she watched from an elevated veranda next to Kim. That's Kim Jong-il, of course. Next to Kim, and at one point, she put her hand on his shoulder and whispered to him. Now, given the fact that he, like his father and grandfather, is invested by North Korean mythology with mythic powers, magical powers. Oh, speaking of magical powers, the big new movie out just last week, it's called Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The magical Harry Potter empire has already given rise to another series called Fantastic Beasts. And now the third of those films offers a dark and tense story about a political struggle to control the association of wizards and sorcerers all over the world. And it's called The Secrets of Dumbledore. Now playing in theaters.
Our war with the Muggles begins today!
The world as we know it is coming undone.
That's Jude Law as the conscientious and scholarly Albus Dumbledore, who has to defeat the unscrupulous demagogue Gellert Grindelwald, with Mads Mikkelsen taking over the role from Johnny Depp. The film is spectacular looking, with superb special effects, a great musical score by James Newton Howard, but a proliferation of mostly gloomy characters, which will be confusing for anyone who hasn't seen the previous films in the series. Rated PG-13, 3 stars for Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. And it is one of those films that doesn't exactly leave you with a song in your heart. And you will, even if you have seen the previous 2 films in the series, supposed to be a total of 5 before they're done. Even if you have seen the previous 2 films, it's tough to remember and to keep straight all of the different permutations about the struggle for power among wizards and their desire to either make war or make peace with the rest of us. That would be the Muggles amongst us. That's most of us. Coming up next time, there is a new culture war battlefield. According to many commentators, it is public libraries, and a survey showing that 2 in 3 people say they're not afraid of what happens to them after their death. Really? And a network spokesman saying that it will be a life-changing event for all Americans if Elon Musk really does manage to take over Twitter. We will cover that and much more next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.